Welcome to the Sparks of Hope Shooting for Success Summit. You will discover innovative talks for personal and business expansion with leading experts. Today, be ready to be infused with hope, strength, and confidence, and find powerful direction to lead you on a path of success. Join our 21 world-class speakers and experience inspiration, hope for your future, and an elevation of your desires. Inspired Choices Network, our summit hosts, are excited to have you here.
Hi everyone, my name is Michaela Gaffin-Stone and I am, among other things, a board certified behavior analyst. And what that means for our purposes today is that everything I do tends to come from a place of the behavior that gets you there, the behavior that gets you what you don't want, the behavior that gets you what you do want. I have a number of certifications, and that's largely because I love to learn, I love to study, and might as well get the paper while you're there, right? So, among other things, I'm also qualified in nutrition work, and that's a nutrition coach for a few different places. Now, the question really would be why those two things together? So, let me tell you before I get into that what the talk is going to be about today. It's my journey and how I came to understand why redefining your relationship with food is actually a thing, why it's in fact vitally important, and what it means. It's a whole concept that you don't typically hear about, redefining your relationship with food. You know, do you even know you want to do that? Well, right now the answer is probably no. But hopefully by the end of this talk, the answer will be, huh, now you come to mention it, yes. What this talk is not about is dieting in order to reach a number on a scale, or food restriction, or deprivation of any kind. It's not about that. And it's not about having you follow rules or a plan that someone else gives you, and it's created for no one in particular, and certainly not you. So these are things it's not about. Now, I will tell you my story to give you a little context in how this is important and how it all came to be. So I was working with a personal trainer, and we'd only just started really doing some work, and he had the client intake form with him, and he was looking at it and looking at me and looking at the form, and his face was very serious. And I really wondered, like, what is causing that look? And I couldn't think what his issue would be. But then I discovered that he was very focused in on the medical section of my sheet. Now, it was long, varied, a lot of different things on there. And I was used to that sort of length of medical history, getting me some looks of incredulity, skepticism, you know, shaking heads. But I didn't usually get that kind of look, not quite what he was doing. So I waited, and very quietly he said, "Have you ever heard of EDS? And I was like, no, should I? And he said, "Well, yes, I think you need to go to your doctor and ask them to check you for EDS. So I asked a little more, you know, what is EDS? What does that mean even? I've never heard of it. And it turns out that this is something called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And it's considered to be a rare condition. I would argue, actually, it is rarely diagnosed, and that is not the same thing. There are a lot of people with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and a lot that are undiagnosed, but there's such a broad range of symptoms and problems that come up with it that I can see how that happens. Anyway, our session wrapped up pretty quickly after that because he really seemed to be rather reluctant to do any work with me until I'd spoken with my doctor. So, of course, I went to the doctor and she said, "Oh, yes, that makes sense. Yes, I can see that." So I was, you know, very hopeful. Are we going to have some solutions for this? Can I, how do I get better? And, I hope there was a fix. And she said, well, really, you need to go and research it because I don't know that much about it. And we're only going to manage symptoms anyway. So you handle it the best you can, and I'll look at whatever you can't handle. And that was it. That was what I got. So at least she was honest. That was something. But it wasn't what I wanted to hear from my doctor. So I went home. I had a pity party for a while. You would. I suddenly discovered that all these things I'd been suffering from were actually under one big umbrella. I had the hope that it was going to have a fix, and then I get my hope dashed. No, there's no fix. I mean, yeah, I had a pity party. You bet I did. And that's a sign, actually, that if you're in that mode, you're having a problem with your spark of hope. It's dimmed. And sometimes that's going to happen. The question really is, what do you do after that? And that's where the story picks up. I had my little time of pouting, and then I thought, well, okay, let's be logical about this. I have to be able to do something. I don't accept that this is just my lot and this is where we go. The doctor may have said that, but she's not as interested as I am in the outcome. So I thought, what can I control? And two things came to mind. You can always control your movement in as far as you have movement. So whatever you can move, you have that choice, right? You can control that. And food, what you eat is something you can control. And I got to thinking, well, I've put on weight since I moved to the US, and that's probably not helping my symptoms. So maybe losing weight would help. So I looked around for how I wanted to do that. And I already knew from experience and from past history as a nurse and so on, certain ways that didn't work. So I was embarking on this journey. Now, by the end of this presentation, you are going to have some actionable tools that go with this journey, this path to food freedom. I'm giving away a little bit by even calling it that, but these tools are going to give you some empowerment where you are the boss and the donut that you want to eat doesn't control your food choices. So I'm going to invite you to stay with me as I explain this journey of food rediscovery and transformation. And together we can untangle some of the things that hold us captive in a diet culture and in a society where advertisements tell us what to think and tell us what we believe, but they're actually not true. They're manipulating. So this is a whole journey, and I hope you'll stay with me for it because you're going to get some things that you can use at the end of it. So let's look at the big picture, where we are right now as a society. And the first thing I have to mention, because it's the elephant in the room, is the food industry. The food industry has hijacked our food sources and replaced all the good stuff that our bodies need to make us into us and to repair us and to keep us going. They've replaced those things with chemicals, and those chemicals are designed to taste amazing and to do all the things that you have come to expect from your food. Really set your taste buds on fire kind of deal. Now, I'll wear the conspiracy hat if you prefer me to, but you could also look up something called agnotology and discover when you do that that there's a whole field of study dedicated to understanding exactly this manipulation, false information, and sowing of doubt that the big corporations do. Right now, we're going to focus on food because that has a huge impact on your health and well-being. It has an impact on the decisions you make in your day. If you are undernourished or poorly nourished and you have all these toxins, which is basically the chemicals that are in food products, if you have all that in your circulation, you can't make good decisions from there. You're not functioning well. And chances are you don't even realize how not well you're functioning. It's amazing, but sometimes you need a break from that so that you can realize it's even there. I had a client recently who said after a period of time where he was eating differently, he was eating more consciously, more aware of what was in the food, he'd gone to a restaurant and had a particular meal and felt awful afterwards, and then had the big realization, ha, I always used to feel like this. Wow. And he had no idea how bad he felt until he stopped feeling so bad. That is something that the food industry is doing to people. And then with all the medications that you can take to deal with your symptoms, we're told it's no big deal, right? That's what the advertisements say. It's no big thing. Just take this little pill with a big story to tell and you'll be fine. You can dance and sing and everybody will be happy to see you. Well, that's not how it works in real life. Your body is struggling to survive, and it's going to come up with all kinds of signs and symptoms for you to learn from. And if you just subdue them with pills, you're not helping yourself, and you're not going for longevity here. So it's really important to understand that the food industry is not your friend. They're not here to help you. The things that say healthy food are not. They don't have to label it if it's actually healthy for you. So understanding that is really the first step. Knowing also that diet culture does not help at all. In fact, it's as bad as the food industry, because the diet culture is saying, well, you need to be this number on a scale. You need to lose weight. But at what cost? How are they helping you to do that? And typically, a diet industry is going to look at, well, eat this, don't eat that. Count these calories, don't go over that. And what you end up with is a fixation on food that's not at all healthy. And you're looking at, what do I have left I can eat today? You become obsessed by these food products and then end up failing the diet, not because you failed it, but because it failed you. It's designed that way. They're not designed to succeed. They're designed for you to keep buying them. So the real thing underneath all of this, where you're redefining food goes with, you're redefining that relationship, is the psychology of why you eat what you eat. Now, I learned these things on my own journey. And I have to say, recently, in 14 weeks, I was able to lose 25 pounds. Without deprivation, without calorie counting, and without, you know, running on a treadmill for 3 hours a day or any of those things. It was by finding the foods that worked for me and not eating the foods that didn't. And that's a whole process. I'm very excited about this process because it's yours. It's for the individual. This is not a plan that gets handed out and everybody does the same thing, because how can that actually work? You are not coming from the same starting place as me. Your health is different to me. You might have an autoimmune condition, and you might not. You might have a few. So how can you have the same diet as me? You can work with whole foods, but yours are going to look different to mine. And that's the key to work out, is what is actually going to work for you. So diets are not the holy grail of health and happiness. They really aren't. They lead to a cycle of deprivation, guilt, frustration. And, you know, you're always fueled by the marketing that says, hey, quick fix over here. Just do this and you'll have this quick fix. But that's not how it works. And every time you try a quick fix, your body suffers. And it's going to show you its suffering. You're going to have these symptoms coming up, as I mentioned. And what do you do with them? You take more meds to cover it up. Now, that brings me very nicely to the offer that I have for you today, which is boosting your immune system in 9 steps. And what I'm talking about in that offer is a very natural way to give your body every chance to keep you healthy and whole, because your body is working tirelessly to keep you healthy. It really is. It might not feel that way, but it depends on what you're doing to it. You know, if you're in a fast-paced job, you've got a lot of stress going on, then your immune system is getting battered by this. It's being assaulted from all places, and that's before you even look at viruses, right? So it's essential to really equip yourself with the tools and the knowledge to build that immune system from within. The external stuff you take may or may not help. Internally, that's where your gold is. So having the food that's going to build that immune system is key. What you drink is key. How you sleep, exercise, stress management. We're going to go into all of that and a whole lot more in my master classes all about building your immune system. So I would like you to make a note right now that you want to know about this. This is your path to a better health, and it's a start on your journey to redefining your relationship with food. It's such an important thing to do because we just buy what they're selling, right? We buy what the marketing tells you want to have. Now, just picture this. You have all seen, I'm quite sure, breakfast cereal advertisements where this little round cereal that you consume, and it's about the same color as the box it comes in, right? And tastes more or less the same. But the advertisement has a happy couple, 2 point however many kids, a dog. The dog doesn't shed. There's no coffee rings on the perfectly white surface in the kitchen. Everybody's happy. Everybody is, slim, well-dressed, going to go to school with a smile on their face. All those things that don't happen in your house, right? They don't happen in real life. And the one thing that you can buy that they're selling is that cereal. So obviously, the cereal is your path to that lifestyle. And that's what every advertisement sells you, is the lifestyle that that product is depicted with. So, think of pizza advertisements. How many of those have people saying, "Oh, I have heartburn"? They don't. They are having a great time, they're partying, and everybody's just enjoying that pizza. Well, that is what you're being sold. But meanwhile, your body is struggling with what you're giving it. It's having a very hard time. Now, I'm giving you all this information, and so you might be hearing it and saying, "Well, what am I going to do with that?" Hey, I'm so glad you asked because I have a little exercise for you to do, and it's not complex, but it does take a little time. And it comes from the idea of mindful eating. But that's a word that, you'll often hear, "Well, eat mindfully, take your time." That's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. And that's just like the thing I said earlier about the diet industry. It's very superficial. What's underneath that? That's the important part. So, mindful eating, really, what I mean by that is when you're thinking of a food that you want to have, say you've had a tough day at work and you want to have a chocolate bar. Okay? Cool. Now, what I want you to do is start writing. What are you thinking and feeling when you decide you want that chocolate bar? Is it exciting? Do you anticipate it? Are you looking for it right now? Do you need it now? Like, what is coming up for you around that food? Write that down before you have it. And then when you're going to have the food, just take a bite and write down some things about that bite. How does it taste? Is it as good as you thought it was? Is it sweeter? Is it saltier? How's the texture? What do you recognize about it? And I want you to do that for each bite that you have because it can change. And sometimes I'll let you into a little secret here, but sometimes when you're eating a food and one that you're having as a reward for something or a comfort for something, you will very often forget you're eating it like halfway through. Or you might have a bite or two and then suddenly, "Oh, hey, I finished that. Well, was that good? Did it taste good? Did you notice?" Chances are you didn't. And with this exercise, I'm asking you to notice what kind of conversation is going on in your head. Now, a lot of people will typically say, I don't have a conversation. There's nothing going on. I'm going to say, yes, there is. You have this whole, come on, you deserve it. Yeah, just have one. Nobody will notice. Or, you better hide in the cupboard so the kids don't see you eating it. You know, where are you going with that? What is the story with this food? Now, that is mindful eating. And you don't have to do it with every single thing you ever eat, but it's a great practice to try and just see when you grab that popcorn or you grab that chocolate or that wine that you want to drink. You know, what is your story? What do you think it's going to do for you? And then after you've eaten the food, notice, did it do that thing for you? Another example I'd like to give you is a client of mine who comes from Poland, but lives in California. And she said that she doesn't like American pastries. They're too sweet, but she found a place where she could get European pastries from. And so she likes to eat those. And I asked her, when do you eat them? You know, typically, when does this come up for you? And she was a bit puzzled by the question at first, but we worked through it and discovered after some conversation that, oh, whenever she's missing home, she reaches for the pastries because it reminds her of home. So can you think of a more functional way of dealing with that? I'm not going to leave you hanging here, but I'm going to tell you the very simple solution we came up with, which is she could phone home, talk to people in Poland, and then if she still needed the pastries, have the pastries. And funnily enough, since then, she hasn't wanted the pastries because they weren't fixing the problem. And that's what I mean by redefining your relationship with food. It's really important to know who's in charge. Is it you or is it the food? If you can't walk past a box of donuts without having one, I'm going to say the donuts are in charge. If you're not human until you've had your coffee in the morning, coffee's in charge. So the journey that I like to take people on and the journey I do myself is one of discovering who's the boss, you or the food, and then breaking that connection so that you can later choose it or choose to not have it. But you don't have to have the thing simply because it's there. I hope that all makes sense because it's a lot to work through, but it's so freeing. And that is actually your path to better health, better immunity, losing any extra weight that you have, and just gaining your life back, getting your quality of life. So to round out the story, I have improved my health, my energy, my sleep, so many areas, all of which add up to quality of life, following this program that I became a certified coach so that I could take other people through it. I believe in it that much, and I want to help people get there faster than I did. This is my passion. It's my purpose to facilitate other people through that journey. And while we're at it, where every time you buy food, you are voting with your dollars. So let's take it away from the food companies who are exploiting you and put it into real food that is not exploiting you. Now, that is a journey in itself to discover what's what, but you get a lot of that learning as well. I love to do the research so that you don't have to, but if you want it, I have pages and pages of the stuff. So I really appreciate you all coming and listening today. I would love to have the feedback. And please do come for the immune system masterclasses because I want people to be healthier, happier, and having a really good life. We just have this one, so let's really have a good time with it. Why not? I mean, I'm here for it. Are you? That's what I have to offer for you today. And let's finish on a pattern interrupt exercise really quickly. I just have a quick bit of time. If you have an object you can hold and you pass from side to side, hand to hand, opposite sides of your body, you can break a nervous pattern or an anxiety pattern by saying things like, I've got this, I can do this, I'm a star, I'm a great coach, I can handle this program, I can do these things, any of those. Thank you for listening.
Joining this motivating talk on the Sparks of Hope Shooting for Success Summit. Inspired Choices Network and our expert speakers are excited to connect with you and learn about your hopes and desires to lead you to greater success. If you would like to learn more about everything Inspired Choices Network offers, including future summits, please email us at info@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.